Hi, and welcome to another Alpha Rubicon Netcast. I'm Tripp.
And I'm Carrie.
And I'm Lee.
We got our good friend Marcinko down here this weekend. The music came in, as usual, from Poker Face. You can visit them on the web at www.pokerface.com. And if you're into the political aspect of survivalism, you can visit their political website at www.pokerface.org. Also, we'd like to tell everybody that this netcast was brought to you by Buckshot's Trapping. You can get all your trapping supplies, all your survival needs of that nature at www.buckshotscamp.com. That's www.buckshotscamp.com. He's got all kinds of great videos, books, trap supplies. He knows his business, and if you're gonna survive and you have to eat, he'll show you how to bring the food in. While you're off doing other things, his traps will be working for you. And that's going to be important in the future. If you are a survivalist, you believe that to be true.
Tonight, we're going to talk to you a little bit about non-survivalist spouses. It's a problem that most survivalists have. Some of us don't, but there are quite a few here, and I'm sure in other places that have one person that's really hardcore into it. Maybe you have a supportive spouse, but they just don't quite understand, or they're just tolerant. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight and how to maybe make them see a little bit more as to why we do what we do, and maybe get them involved a little bit more and understand and even get excited about it.
The a number one most asked question we get face to face, email, or by phone is, my spouse doesn't see the need to prepare. She thinks I'm a kook. Can you give me some help on how to get this changed? Oh yeah, go ahead and laugh, guys. And for some of us, it never seems to be a problem having a survivalist spouse. For the younger generation, they're kind of in luck because as they look for members of the opposite sex to date, romance and marry, that's part of their criteria since they're already a survivalist. But for those people that didn't realize you were a survivalist until you got on up and were married and already had kids or that situation, then it can be a little more difficult, especially if you come home dragging a survival magazine and a couple of AKs and
Wearing your camouflage pants and
that's
your kill
right.
them all dead t-shirt.
Start bringing freaky people over to the house. Then that can be a little problem and your spouse may slam shut. Now, let me say here that most people seem to think that it's men that can't find survivalist-oriented women, but more and more, it's running about 50-50 now, as far as we can see. Females are saying, my husband just doesn't see the need to prepare about this. Well, that's two different problems and two different mindsets. If you're trying to change a female into a survivalist or bring out their survivalist nature, that's one problem. And if you're a female, you're dealing with a whole other set of problems if you're trying to change a male into a survivalist or at least let them accept it. One of the things that you have to realize is that being a survivalist is actually a survival instinct, and it's not something you can help. If you hear a loud noise, you jump and you flinch, and that's a survival instinct. So what you can pretty much bet on is that it's just a matter of degree. If you come home with a fire extinguisher, your wife's going to probably think that's pretty cool because you're going to use a fire extinguisher a whole lot more than you would probably use a gun in your home. If you come home with an AK, she's gonna say, "What do you need that for?" And if you say home protection, she's gonna say, "Oh, you don't need no AK for a home, you freak." And things go downhill from there. But if you bring home that fire extinguisher, she's all for that. It protects the house. So it's the same way with an alarm system. If you bring an alarm system in, she's like, "Oh, that's great. I feel safe now." If you bring home an AK, she's like, "Whoa."
Freak!
Yeah, she's gonna freak out on you. So I mean, it's a matter of degree. And once you understand that, you have to find out where her line in the sand is and where your line in the sand is, and you have to make them meet somewhere in the middle. Lee, is your wife a survivalist?
By no means. She's into preparing for food, natural disasters and such, but she has nothing to do with the political realm of it or anything else that might happen.
She hold you back in your survival preparations, or is she pretty with you on that?
She doesn't hold me back at all. She supports me 100%, and she's for everything I want to do. She might think I'm a little crazy at times, but she supports me at any rate.
Now, you kind of realized you were a survivalist after you were married, correct?
Very, very true.
How did you kind of bring her along into that, or was she already into it somewhat, or what?
Like, she was into it a little bit. She would buy extra food here and there and making the space to store it. And once I realized why I was a survivalist, wanting to protect my family and everything that I had, she started to see the light a little bit, but the further I get along in it, the further she seems to draw away from it.
Right. It's a matter of degree. Food and extra food in the house is good for that storm or the weekend power outage and stuff like that, but hoarding up a year's worth of stuff is a little much in her eyes.
Exactly. She thinks it's a little extreme at times.
Carrie, what are your thoughts on non-survivalist spouses over there? I mean, you're one of the typical survivalist women that people run into all the time, and I know the guys listening to this show are going, I wish I could find a female that was a survivalist, and a lot of the ladies listening to the show are going, I wish I could find a husband or a mate that was a survivalist. What are your views on it from a female point of view?
I think you want to look for a guy who's very comfortable with himself, very comfortable with who he is, that he's has a good self-esteem, that he knows, you know, he's very comfortable with himself. He's not going to feel overshadowed or upstaged or out of place, that he's no longer a participating member, and I'm not going to say the dominant member in a relationship because all relationships are partnerships, but that he has to be totally self-confident that he can also go along with this and be a part of it, and that she's not trying to quote-unquote wear the pants in the family.
So a big chunk of the female perspective of that from a male point of view, I mean, people see survivalism as a male-dominated lifestyle, and that's simply not true. It's one of the stereotypes that the media portrays, you know, the guy, militia guys running around with the guns and killing everybody. But, you know, there's a lot of females out there, too. There are a lot of them. And some females even tried to hide the fact online that they're females because they don't believe they'll be taken seriously in a male-dominated lifestyle. And that's just not
I
true.
I think that's very untrue.
Yeah,
that's very untrue. I don't think I have ever been disrespected in my area of expertise, which is medical, because I am a woman. I mean, there may be people who have, you know, a personal problem with me, don't like my attitude or whatever, but as far as my medical aspect of it goes, I don't think anybody has ever had a problem with that, and if they have,
no,
I wish they'd tell me.
But then again, we get back to that mindset, and if you're a female looking for a survivalist spouse or a survival male, then you're having to deal with somebody that's new to it and is thinking, you know, my spouse is going to be running around with these guys in the woods, and, you know, I can't handle that. Like Carrie said, you need somebody that is comfortable with himself, has good self-esteem, and he don't have to wear the pants in the family all the time. I mean,
and he's not going to perceive the female as being this, you know, butch, masculine, you know, wanting to shave her hair off and
I can outshoot you any day of the week.
Exactly. You know, she can still wear makeup and wear pink nail polish and look pretty and be very feminine. But on the weekends, you know, let her hair down, no makeup, put on the camis and go out and have a good time.
Yeah, or, you know, get in the kitchen and do whatever it is, bake bread or can
it doesn't matter.
Or, you
I
know,
mean,
whatever. I mean, I've canned as much stuff as anybody other than my grandma, I think. But,
just give me the jars back.
That's right. I mean, there's no one aspect of survivalism that's either totally male or totally female. I mean, I came up with the vacuum pump that we use, and since I came up with it and know how to use it, I'm usually the one that's in there vacuum sealing stuff. So, I mean, there's no one area of survivalism that's dominant male or dominant female. Like I said, it's all a matter of degree. And there are a lot of survivalists out there, and these are the ones that give us the bad stereotype. They own weapons, and they prepare for the end of times. And most of them prepare for this end of times because, did that sound evil enough? I'm Dr. Evil. It's because they hope for the end of times. And you know, most of these guys are disillusioned in their jobs. They're having problems in their life. And when they get to that point, they decide that it would be easier if the hand of God came down and erased the population, and since they're prepared and they've got a gun, that they will be the new king of the world.
And they now have their own mini kingdom.
Exactly. You want to stay away from these people, by the way, folks. You don't want anything to do with this type of person. Powerful people are powerful because it's in their nature to be. And if you end the world and they survive, they'll be powerful again because it's not some quirk of fate. It's not they have worked hard and they know how to manipulate people and they get right back to the top in any situation. Those are true survivalists. You may not like their political angle if they're politicians. You may not like their agendas if they're some other type of survivalist, but These are the people that always rise to power. And these are the people that can also, if manipulated wrong, give survivalism a bad name. So we all have to try hard to stop the crazed stereotype in a survivalist. A true survivalist is simply a person that lives by the motto, same as the Boy Scouts, be prepared. We're worried about our spouses, we're worried about our children, our friends. And I mean, this should show how much more survivalists care about people in their lives than most of the population. I mean, if you live in, you know, downtown Manhattan, and, you know, your wife has a chance of getting raped every time she walks out the door, and you're letting her go unarmed or not teaching her how anything about self-defense or mace or anything like that, let's face it, guy, you don't care.
Another aspect looking at with the women is not everybody has to be in the defense aspect of survivalism. You know, we get back to the stereotype of the gun-toting, camouflage-wearing maniac. That's not it at all. I mean, yes, we do prepare to defend what we have. I mean, we've put all this time and energy and effort and motivation into this type of
being well-rounded
insurance.
Yeah.
And we're not going to have somebody just come and take it away. You know, we want to be able to defend what we have to protect our families. But not everybody has to do that. Not everybody has to get out there and go on the patrols and, you know, do the ops and stuff like that. It's not necessary.
Lee, what's one area that you and your wife bump heads on about survivalism?
Mostly the weapons. She doesn't see why I need to stockpile ammo and many different types of weapons. She thinks it's senseless.
Does she put up with it, or is she vocal about not wanting them in the house, or what?
No, usually the only thing I hear is, oh, bought another one, did you?
In our house, baby, that would be, oh, cool, he bought another one!
Yeah. That, again, is one of the areas where you have to have balance. You know, if you're going to go out and buy yourself a new toy that goes bang, you need to let her go out and buy a new toy that doesn't go bang, whatever, you know, tips her tea kettle. And that way it's a 50-50 thing, you know. You let me do what I want to do as far as preparations and stuff. If you can't change their minds, you just have to find ways to live with it. But you can change their minds. You can change anybody's mind. You just have to do it in small, easily accepted steps. And once you understand what their concept of a survivalist is, you start working to change it. You'll find out, and they'll find out, that a lot of the stuff you believe in, they believe in too. It's just a matter of degree. And I even know couples that the wife would say, oh my God, no, he's not a survivalist. I mean, we prepare and we have weapons and stuff like that, but he's not a survivalist, because they don't want, it's the mindset that they've been stereotyped and they don't want that stereotype. I have a good friend that tells everybody when, you know, they get to talking about us or send them to the website, they'll say, well, that guy's a survivalist. And he's, oh no, they're not that kind. They're not that kind of survivalist, and, you know, and he knows us, so he, you know, knows better. But these people that don't know us stereotype us right off the bat. Like I said, fire extinguisher is a good idea. You know, a gun in the house may freak her out. Sometimes it doesn't. Here in the South, and most survivalists, you know, are hunters, and most of the females grow up with weapons. Up north, it may be different. I haven't spent a lot of time up there, so I don't know. You take a few small, gentle steps to show the degree of your points. You don't do it in a combative or argumentative way, because at that point, the ears have slammed shut, okay, and you're up against a stone wall. You cannot argue with somebody to change their mind. They've got their point of view, you've got yours. We're simply explaining why we're doing something. Remember that. What separates us is not what we deem as a good idea, but it's the degree of our preparations. So let's look at a few ways to handle a few items as examples, you know, when they come up around your house, if you're going to talk your spouse into supporting your lifestyle.
Well, we've already talked about the fire extinguisher. You know, you pay fire insurance on your house, and theft insurance, burglary insurance. You pay all of these things, but it makes sense to have a fire extinguisher usually in your kitchen and in your bedroom, because, you know, by the time the fire department gets there and maybe saves part of your house or all of their house, and then you go through all the rigmarole of having the insurance company pay off, what do they pay off? They buy you new furniture, they buy you new clothes, but are they going to be able to replace your baby pictures, you know, your grandma's antique, you know,
marriage certificate,
you know, anything.
Birth certificate.
There's all kinds of things that are totally irreplaceable. So that's a good point. The security system, just like Tripp talked about, you know, those are all good ideas. But what about water? I mean, we look at water. Most people that are on city water, if you don't have electricity, you may have water for a little while. If you're on a well, usually you have an electric pump. So somehow you've got to have water even if the power goes out. You know, it only takes, what, a couple of gallons to flush a toilet. Well, honey, why don't we put, fill up some of these 3-liter bottles and stick them under a couple of the bathroom sinks so that in case the power goes out, we've got water to flush the toilets.
Yeah, it's nasty if you get caught in the shower with soap on your head, you know. So, I mean, you know, if she's in the shower when the water goes out, take that opportunity to do a little mind changing there, you know. Hand her a jug of water and say, here, you know, clean this stuff out of your eyes, honey. Now, a couple 3 liters stored back under the counter full of water, that's not a bad idea. Now, if you go putting 10 55-gallon drums of water in the basement, she's gonna look at you like you're a little freaky.
Also, when you're doing this, once you've handed over the bottle of water and she's rinsed her hair, or he's rinsed his hair out and got the soap out of their eyes, and don't say, "See, I told you this would happen. You were going to need this
Never do
water."
that.
Never
Never
do
do
the
that.
"I told you so." That all that does is put up that wall of defense and creates another argumentative attitude of, "Well, I don't care. You know, so what? You know." Hey, when you're finished with that, would you remind me to fill it back up when the power comes back on or the water comes back on? I appreciate it. You know, eventually they're going to come back in carrying your little jug and say, "Yeah, don't forget to
Put the
fill up
jug in
the."
the sink so they'll be sure to see it. You know, maybe they'll fill it up, and if they do, hey, you're there, man. You're in.
You've accomplished a step.
Okay, and once these degrees start building up, these little degrees, along with a little of your coaxing, they start seeing, you know, well, preparation's just a matter of course. My great grandma did it, my grandma did it, my parents probably did it. You know, it's a good idea to keep some extra canned goods in the cabinet. You know, it's a great idea to keep extra canned food in the cabinet when winter's coming, or if you're in a storm-prone area. But, you know, if you come bringing in a stack of MREs or try to fill up a room with sandbags filled with rice, you're in trouble. You know, that's freaky. Oh God, I just made a lot of people angry because I know people that do that. This is my bullet deflection room, and it's also my food storage room. So it's, like I said, a matter of degree. Savings account, most of us would consider that a must, even if it's only $10 a week or, you know, $20 a month, whatever you can put in it. Because you don't always have the extra money to keep it as full as you want to. But it's a hedge against the loss of your job or unexpected insurance, kid needs braces, whatever. Job insurance and disability insurance, they're major additions, major popular additions to car and home loans. If you lose your job, you know, they pay on your car or your home until you get back up on your feet. You know, so why don't you have a little extra food and water and stuff like that at the house for the same reason? Around here, for every dollar we pay the insurance company, we also spend $1 on survival supplies. And that's just a hands-on form of insurance. The supplies that you've got, you can describe them as an insurance policy that you can put your hands on. The first thing that happens during a tornado or when the hurricane watches go out and stuff like that, Carrie, what's the first thing that happens?
People go to the stores and grab all the milk and meat they can get.
A snowstorm, inch of snow down here in the South, boys, and we close down. The supermarkets are stripped and major emergency. But you know, if you've got it at home, you can don't have to worry about it. You know, tell your wife, we stocked up. If we have a snowstorm, whatever, we're good to go.
People go crazy when stuff like that happens. You can be sitting back on your couch and, sipping a cup of coffee while everybody else is out acting like maniacs, grabbing every item off the shelves. One other thing I want to talk about real quick is a lot of couples disagree on the money that goes into being a
That's
survivalist. That is
a major
they
point of
say most
issue.
couples argue, whether they're survivalist couples or not, over financial matters, that money is the number one cause of arguments, fights, or divorce within couples. With survivalist couples, or one survivalist and one non-survivalist, it's an even bigger issue because it does take some money to put into this, come up with a compromise. Every time we go to the grocery store, let's buy one item for our rainy day stash.
Lantern manholes or
A
anything
box of
like that.
matches, a bag of paper plates, it doesn't matter,
Buy some extra
something.
canned goods, buy some of those already prepackaged storable foods, you know,
Ramen
Lunchables
noodles,
or
it doesn't
whatever they
matter.
are,
Yeah, I mean anything.
just to put back.
Come up with a compromise.
Yeah, and when you go to the store, if you let your spouse, especially if you're a male, and if the female in your household does the shopping, and you go to the store, ask her, you know, will you pick up this, that, or the other? Will you pick up a couple cans of this? And, you know, I want them for survival. Well, that's not freaky to her. That's just, you know, good idea. And you can even put it, if you can clean out, talk to her about cleaning out the cabinet above your main food cabinet. You can keep all the food up there and call it your survival cabinet. And she's not going to balk against that at all, because she's going to be reaching up there every now and then when the groceries in the house get low and she doesn't feel like running to the store. So the major point, yeah. So the major point we're trying to hammer home is, it's a matter of degree. It's a matter of degree and perspective. And once you find out what they are willing to accept, then you start working from there. Just with any, like any other negotiation, you find out what the other party is willing to offer realistically. You realize what you're willing to compromise on realistically. You meet in the middle. Now, does she take you down from being a survivalist at that point, or do you bring your spouse up to a survivalist at that point? That depends on how bad or how much you believe in survivalism. Got anything else you want to add over there?
I think we've pretty much hit on just about everything.
That's as simple as it sounds and as short as it sounds. I mean, that is pretty much...
Take it slowly. I mean, that's all you can do. You can't just heap all this stuff on someone all at one time, because it's very overwhelming.
It's also very expensive. I mean, real survivalists don't start out spending $100,000 at Walmart and get all their stuff at one day. That is the survivalist headquarters, by the way.
All of life's necessities can be bought.
That's it. They don't do that. They accumulate stuff slowly. Over the years, we've all done it. We plan major purchases with, you know, extra money we've made on our own, or, you know, and if you're going to do that, if you're going to spend money on what your wife or husband considers your toys, make sure they can spend the same amount of money on their kind of stuff. Whether it's you want a gun and they want a diamond ring, get $500, you know, whatever you want to do with it, go do it. So, I mean, your survival supplies will be twice as expensive that way, because you're having to buy a gun and a ring at the same time. But at least you've got them. That's going to do it for this wrap-up. Again, don't forget to pop over at Poker Face's website, www.pokerface.com and .org.
And also Buckshot's website at www.buckshotscamp.com.
Works for me, Lee.
Y'all have a good evening. Fire, of how you behave, and all the shit.